Create Art Podcast, KDOI Rebroadcast, Singing as Art, interview with Vanessa Ferris. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator with Create Art Podcast. And I bring my 20 years of art and education experience to you to help you, you know, tame that inner critic and create more than you consume. Today's episode is a KDOI rebroadcast. And this is coming from my first season where I interviewed my good friend, Anessa Ferris. Anessa has been a singer for, longer than I can remember, over 20 years. And she is a singer in this day and age as well. And we went over, you know, her history and her thoughts and feelings about singing as an art form and her ideas about art and what it means to her. All right, and we are back. I want to thank you all for tuning in. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien here at Kimo's Den of Iniquity, and this is going to be our third episode. I can't believe it, our third episode already. And this week we have on a very talented person that I've known for a very long time, Anessa Ferris. Anessa, are you here with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Fantastic. How's the weather where you're at right now?
Always sunny.
Always
in
sunny.
Florida.
Excellent.
I consider it to be similar to living on the surface of the sun.
It's that hot, huh?
It's always hot here. It's 95 during the day and a nice 75 at night.
Oh, well, that I can definitely handle. Being here in Virginia, we're not that hot, but we are that cold usually. So not as sunny as a good Florida, but you know what? It's Virginia. We got weird things going on here. All right. So basically, everyone knows that we're doing interviews with artists that I have a history with. And Anessa and I have known each other. Gosh, how long has it been? When did we first meet, Anessa?
We first met when I was dating Mike D, the Beastie Boy. I wish it was the Beastie Boy, but he's not so bad himself, right?
Exactly.
He was my prom date, so I would have been 17, 18 when I met you.
Oh, so that was just a couple of years ago, right?
Oh, gosh. Do we have to say how many years it's been?
No. 22? 22 years. No way.
Yes, we're getting old.
No, we're aging like fine wine. We're aging like fine wine. That's the way I like to look at it anyways.
I guess if you keep me stored on my side to keep my cork wet.
Fantastic. We can make sure that that happens for you today. Not a problem. So Anessa and I have known each other for obviously a good amount of years. I remember many times writing a lot of poetry with Anessa, seeing her sing in a lot of venues around our wonderful and illustrious hometown of Rockford, Illinois, the Woo-hoo! Screw capital of the world.
The 815.
The good old 815, also known as Forest City, also known as one of the murder capitals of the world. So for anyone that's interested in murder and screws and
Don't
trees.
Say that. I have wonderful family and friends there that, you know, the people there are great. And the city, sure, they're working on it, but it is home. I didn't realize until I moved to Florida what was missing, and it was the sirens and the sounds of gunshots in the distance. But I still, as a native of Rockford, would ride my bike at night. I lived downtown. The mayor was my neighbor, but still, we had problems. It was downtown. And I can't knock Rockford. I mean, I did when I lived there just because I was like, everybody's got to get out of here, you know, but it's home. It's nostalgia. And I wish it all the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish some parts of it the best, other parts I would love to forget, and that's why I go through therapy on occasion, just so I can forget those parts. So
well, I heard that.
So, Anessa, obviously, I know of you as a singer and songwriter. What other forms of art are you into? I know you and I for a while would sit and write lines of poems together and string them together, and we would do that. What other art forms are you into?
I'm definitely an art appreciator, you know, going to the museums and stuff, but actually painting or drawing, I've never really tried to do that. I don't think that I have a knack for it. I see children that have better skills than I do. writing is very much bearing your soul, it seems like, when you write alone. So our collaborations were always really interesting and fun, and I loved that because you tend to get in your head a little bit when you're writing alone. I don't always have like some pop rhythm in my head that I'm thinking about before I go into it sometimes, you know. You're writing to vent an emotion. So I love those collabs. What do I do besides singing? That is my main thing. Yeah, I write to myself and I write, you know, here, but there isn't really much else I'm involved in. Music is my life. Like I want to listen to it all the time. I want to be around it. It draws me in if somebody is making beats. You know, it's just, I love the camaraderie of it too. You know, and I miss being in the band.
Absolutely. Understood. And that whole collaboration piece, I definitely feel that with you because for most of my life, I've been the loner writer, you know, the guy sitting at the coffee shop or, you know, sitting in the corner while the party's going on. I'm sitting with my notebook writing away and missing out on the actual activities that are happening at a party or with friends or stuff like that. So that collaboration piece is a fantastic piece. Yeah, but do you find it better to work in a collaborative manner, or do you like do you feel your strongest art is when you're pushing it out yourself?
I think even when I'm pushing it out myself, the moment that you get to share it with the others and then they develop on it, they write their own parts. Now you're bringing instruments into it, and I love that part of it. I love the collaboration, and it seems like you always have a little tweak once you get everyone together anyway, and your art will then develop and change and flow. So yes, I love the collaboration very much.
Fantastic. Now, Inessa, we're going to move on to the next part here. We're going to talk about currently what you're doing, what projects you have up maybe in the future, maybe one or two of your favorite projects that you've ever worked on in the past. So can you talk about what you're doing right now, a little bit about the future, and a little bit about the past?
Can I start with the past?
Absolutely. Start with the past. The past is a good place to start.
Okay. So growing up, my favorite toy was the Fisher-Price record player, and I inherited two little drums that ice cream used to come in that fit 45s perfectly. I got those from my sister, my aunts, and my mom, all passed down. So music started early for me, singing. My first band was when I was in high school, Coconut Champagne. It was just a cover band, but we were fun and hung out on the railroad tracks to take pictures and all that. Getting older, you know, of course, I was in choir, madrigals in college, you know, things like that. But got into a group as a special guest. And that seemed to be my niche because it's like I'm not fully part of anyone's band. When I was singing in Rockford in my 20s, it was special guest Inessa Ferris, and they like made a deal to present me, basically. So that was with The Fuzz. That was a cool funk band, and I was special guest there and would perform one song. And then I was had the opportunity to work with Harlan Jefferson. He is a very well-known saxophone player, and he does a lot of collaborations around, you know, the whole state, really. He travels. He's wonderful. And I was so gifted to be chosen to work with him. And I would sing a couple songs with his band. Beth Ann Beal, Red, had Red and the Play Ray Players. That's my girl, Red. I love her, miss her. And she would get us together and we'd have her headlining, and then she'd have three backup girls, and I was one of her girls. And that was also really great. Nice. We got to perform at the Rammies together. Mm-hmm. It was really nice. The Music Awards in Rockford. And then I had the opportunity of becoming a part of Mannequin Torso. And they are still together. So you can still check out their music. MANAKINTORSO. It's a play on words. But I was in that band for 5 years. And it was a wonderful experience to be able to sing everything with Damien. Damien is the lead singer, and I was, you know, singing with him and harmonizing. And it was just awesome. He's a great singer-songwriter, and he is very talented in all aspects. And it was just a real privilege. So when I moved to Florida, the music for me kind of stopped. I was very career-driven and still am. I'm also in transition, so I'm starting over again with a new career, and it's exciting, but it seems like I put my art aside when I'm doing this, and that's something that I need to find a better balance with right now. So maybe now that I'm 40, I'm going to develop spiritually on that level of trying to not just marry a job, but to have time to fulfill those, because I miss that part of the art. I miss that part of me when I'm not cultivating. So singing karaoke is fun and all that, but it's not the same.
No, understood. I've hit those karaoke stages many times myself, singing. I think my favorite song is Kiss by Prince.
Nice.
And on occasion, you know, if the mood is hitting me right, I can hit those high notes. I can't do it for you today. I'm not going to do it for you today, I promise.
Well, that's one of my go-to songs, so... If I'm going to throw down on some karaoke, mm-hmm. Prince Kiss is probably going to be number two that I'm going to play.
All right. Well, then, you know what? You've inspired me. I'm going to have to come down to Florida. We'll hit some karaoke and start a whole brand new career for both of us.
Promises, promises.
It's going to happen. It's going to, you know me. I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time.
You have kids now. You have a family. You have a wife. You don't get to be the boss anymore. I'll ask the boss of the boss if you can come.
Okay, you go ahead and ask the boss of the boss, and I'll convince her to let me go. It'll be easy. We'll just say it's a work thing. It's a work thing.
Sure. Yeah, if you're coming, they're coming. Well, Florida.
Naturally, absolutely. We're bringing the whole band.
We're going to Disney World.
We're bringing the band back together. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Excellent. So, like you said, you're right now in transition. I think all artists, all the artists that I know have had that point where, you know, you got to do the day job. And that's what I do myself. I, you know, work my 40, 50 hours a week, do my day job. And then art is important enough to me that I make sure that I find time with, you know, the wife, the twins. We have three cats now. We're babysitting a cat. They're all black cats. Naturally, because it's my house. You know, it's at finding the time to go ahead and do your art, and it sounds to me like you're at that point where you're getting ready to do that. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes, absolutely. It's I'm going to start. You know, now that I'm working in Tampa, that's going to help also. But it's who you're around, really, and when you're living in a more remote area, not around people that are like-minded, so to speak, it's hard to get together when you have to commute. But now that I'll be down there, I think that I'm going to be able to see more in the big city and catch more live music gigs and, you know, cultivate that.
Fantastic. So folks, if you're down in the Tampa area, you definitely want to check out Anessa for, you know, wherever, whatever band she's going to be working with, maybe some karaoke. Anything like that. You definitely want to listen to her music and the way that I've heard a lot of the covers that you've done. I've heard a lot of the Janis Joplin covers that you've done. It always brings a tear to my eyes whenever I hear you do any of those covers whatsoever. Me and Bobby McGee is, I think, the favorite one of mine that you do.
Sinead O'Connor, Black Boys on Mopeds. That was always one that I could play on the guitar at the same time. And sing some Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine. I mean, I pride myself on the voice. It's truly, a gift. And when I was a kid, I kind of hid it with those records. I didn't want anyone to know that I could sing. It was like a little secret of mine. I was kind of embarrassed by it almost,
Gotcha.
Until my mom came to one of my shows when I was in sixth grade and I had a solo for We Are the World. And there she was, like in the third row, crying. And I was like, oh gosh, it was just something. I don't know why I felt that way about it. But so I learned to just accept the fact that not everybody can do this and that it's almost my duty to, give to the world that way, but also to fulfill something in me. So it became like the most important thing ever. So that was a really cool thing. I think that too. Tim, you reminded me of something when you answered earlier. It's an extrovert thing, isn't it, to go out and read your poetry or to go out and perform in front of someone. And you said that you feel like you're isolating a little bit when you're sitting at the coffee shop writing and not taking in everyone. I mean, but I think it's a good balance of being an extrovert that you have that introvert time, because otherwise I can't be on all the time, when I'm out. I'm funny, I'm outgoing, I'm a people person. I'm singing, and then you need to have the quiet time for a good balance. So I don't see anything wrong with you writing and not socializing all the time, because you do that for a living. You're working with the public, and I respect you for the quiet time. I think everybody can see that we're not like, oh, gee, why'd you come out just so you could hang out by yourself? I mean, most of us understand, right?
I'm hoping most people understand.
Like he is so stuck up.
Well, and the people that know me know how stuck up I really am. Excellent. Okay, so Anessa, are you ready for the Satanic Seven questions?
I think so.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
Okay, all right. Get a drink of water or whiskey, whatever you got going on there. Here we go. All right. So, just to keep everybody, everyone who's keeping score know, in episode one, where I interviewed myself, which was a fantastic interview, I must say, I'm a tough one on myself. I've got three questions right, four questions wrong. Now, I wrote the questions. I don't know how I could get the questions wrong, but I got four wrong. We had Nelson Velasquez last episode. He got five questions right, two questions wrong. So, Anessa, to beat, five correct questions, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Your first question is, what is the worst piece of advice that you followed, and what was the result?
The worst piece of advice that I have followed was probably listening to my father, who told me that music wasn't a promising career. So I pushed my talent aside and tried to focus on other things, and that didn't really work out that well.
Okay. And sometimes, the parents, the friends, and all that kind of stuff, they give us advice to, they think they know best. Father knows best. It's sometimes it's meant to protect us, but when we're dealing with art and all that, sometimes you just got to follow your heart and just knock it out of the ballpark.
Right. I mean, my advice would be follow your own heart and don't live for others. And you really
Excellent.
know what that means when you're in a situation like that. Oh, Dad.
Okay, question number two. What is the allure to being an artist, and do you live up to the myth, or do you perpetuate the myth of being an artist?
Well, who doesn't want to be poor and broken spirited? Aside from that old stereotype, being an artist is attractive. It shows that you make time for you and the things that make you happy. Your creation is a representation of your soul's voice and is a raw display of your personal human experience. There aren't too many rules that govern the creative process or art world. So it really comes down to people's perception being their reality.
Excellent. All right, question number three. This is a tough one. This is really tough. This is the one that I believe I got wrong and Nelson got wrong. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? And if possible, show your work.
Now, you are the best.
I know we're, you know, we're
what
on
do
a
you
podcast
mean?
Here.
African or European swallow? Timeless question of science.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely.
Also
it is.
A part of Monty Python.
Well, you know, we've got a rip off of the greats every once in a while, I think.
You're fantastic.
Okay, but can you show
There are some links that you can go to check out my work. Mannequin Torso, Place in France, and Mannequin Torso, Pot of Gold. You can look that up on YouTube and see me and see us.
Okay, fantastic. So, folks, this will be in the show notes for you. This will be your quiz after you listen to the podcast. If you go to those links, the answer will be in the links that Anessa just gave us here and on YouTube. Okay.
Did you answer, though, African or European swallow?
Oh, I'm going to go with French-Canadian swallow. I'm going to throw a curveball at you and see if you can get that.
Awesome.
And the answer to the French-Canadian unladen swallow is 42, naturally.
Naturally.
Naturally. Okay. Here's your fourth question. All right. This one is not as hard. How do you reach out to those who don't consider themselves an artist? And is everyone an artist or have artistic ability?
Jeez.
Now, and some people, when they answer this, they go, I don't reach out to those that don't consider themselves an artist. So, I mean, that's any answer that you provide here is a legitimate answer.
All right. Say it all one more time.
All right.
I need a repeat.
Okay. Here we go. For the repeat, for the win, how do you reach out to those who don't consider themselves an artist? And or is everyone an artist or have artistic ability?
Okay, so I reach out through my own art, hoping that it connects everyone. And I think that any art form really has the possibility to do that. No, not everyone is an artist. But I think that my sister coined it best that said she is an artist with no talent. She absolutely loves every form of it and lives it. But she doesn't create anything. She doesn't do music and drawings and writing. She just is more into wildlife rescue. And I mean, I guess you could argue that that's also a talent, but you know, that's not what she means. So no, I don't think everybody is an artist, but I think that everybody appreciates it.
Excellent. Excellent. And we need people that appreciate art. I mean, earlier you were speaking on, you know, you don't paint, you don't draw, or children may draw better than you, but you do appreciate the drawings, the paintings, the sculptures, that kind of stuff. So I think it's important that, you know, if somebody out there is like, oh, I'm absolutely not an artist. Well, we need an audience member because if it's just us putting it out and looking in the mirror, that's not why I do art. I do art for the audience. I like to have an audience to view it and critique it and shoot it back to me. So that way I can either go, yeah, I nailed it out of the park the first time, or I really need to rework this and rethink this so that way I can reach more people with it.
And sometimes when I think about like really old artists like Picasso back in the day or Van Gogh back in the day, you know, what was their life like? You know, the starving artists. I mean, were they isolated? Were they sad? Were they? I wonder how it all really was or how people were towards them when they weren't appreciating them at all.
That I don't know. We're going to have to do with the time machine and figure that out.
I digress.
Okay. No, that's a good question. That, you know, and now you're tossing questions at me. I'm going to do horrible at your questions. I can tell you right now. All right. So that was question 5. Let's do question 6. How do you describe your process from inception to creation to display presentation?
Usually it starts with an emotion toward a certain someone or an event that happens. It can start either with a beat or a melody when I'm sitting down, or I can just take pen to paper and vent it out. It could be really two ways. Then I go back and rewrite it and tweak it, maybe, you know, and start adding the other parts to it for myself. From there, it gets played over and over and over in my head and until final conception, you know, and then perform it in front of an audience. But I'd like it to be more complicated than that, but sometimes it just is, and it's easy. You know, you start tapping or you're thinking of something and you're just, I got a new job today, you know, and then there you are. Now you're starting a new song. It's really that easy.
And folks, you'll be listening to that song at the end of this podcast. We'll have it for presentation here, and it'll be hitting the Billboard Top 100. Very shortly after that. You heard it first here, folks. Anessa with her new song, I Got a New Job Today. All right. So, Anessa, are you ready for your last question?
I don't know.
Okay. I know you've been prepping for this for weeks. Weeks. I know you've been prepping for this question. All right. Here we go. And this is the question that will possibly bring you back for season 2 of Chemo's Den of Iniquity. Here we go. Money were no object, if time were no concern, if resources were unlimited, what project would you attempt? Second part is, if all negative factors were eliminated, would you allow this to be the only work you were known by? So, again, money's no object, time's no concern, resources unlimited, what project are you going to do? Then, if everything else is eliminated, do you want this to be the only work you're known by?
Without the distraction of the work hustle, really give me a minute just to wrap my mind around that. unlimited means, no time restraints. I mean, that'd be amazing. I'd probably be able to write an entire album while traveling the world because culture and people just move me. I would love to travel and write and be inspired by everything. It's not so great when you're just watching the History Channel.
That's true. Although the History Channel can give you ideas of where you might want to go.
I'm a musician at heart, you know, so ever since I was a little girl, music was definitely something for me. Yes, I want to only be known for, you know, my voice. But I think through that, when somebody gets to know you, like if I would speak, they'll realize how darn funny I am, too. And gosh, maybe I'll be known as a comedian as well as a singer. You know, I'm like dinner and a show, okay?
There we go. Folks, you heard it here first. She's got a new song that's coming out in season 2, obviously. And she'll have a album and a comedy album as well.
Really? See, this is one of my regrets of leaving the Rockford, Chicago area, because Second City's there. And I could have been on SNL, right? I've got it. I've got a good shtick.
Well, you do. Absolutely. Not a problem at all. As a matter of fact, I could have got you hooked up with Nelson, who has been on Second City stage. And we could have had the whole thing rocking and rolling for you.
For another time. See?
We can make this happen. I'm going to bring up the whole band. We're going to come down to Florida, Nelson. And we'll do it. Fantastic. All right, Anessa, I want to thank you for agreeing to pop on this interview here with us here in Chemo's Den of Iniquity. Any parting thoughts you'd like to give our listeners before we let you go here today?
Parting thoughts?
Absolutely. Anything at all.
Make time for yourself. Don't be like me. cultivate, and through that, you will be happier. And you'll touch others around you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Anessa. And I want to thank everyone out there for listening. Folks, remember, create more than you consume. That's kind of our touchstone here at Chemo's Den of Iniquity. We just want to inspire you and encourage you to go ahead, pick up that paintbrush, go down to your local karaoke bar. I know I'm saying it incorrectly, Anessa. How is it said correctly?
In the Japanese dictionary, I believe it is karaoke, which translates to tone deaf, which is why they always have the glass doors that you can close at the Japanese restaurants when you're singing. Mm-hmm. It's just supposed to be fun. You don't have to be good at singing.
Fantastic. Yes, folks, go out, do some karaoke. I'm messing it up because I'm French Canadian, and that's what we do. again,
it's karaoke.
It's karaoke out here in Virginia. Anyhow, so again, I want to thank you all for doing that. Create more than you consume. Be inspired by this, even if you're in a period of transition right now. Do that art. It does your soul a lot of good. You don't have to be in the museums. You don't have to have your pictures up on a wall in a gallery. You don't have to be on the top Billboard 100, although Anessa will be Billboard 100 next season with
her
new
song. Thank you for sending positive vibes into the world for me.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
With her brand new song, and you heard it here first on Chemo's Den of Iniquity, I got a new job.
And I really did.
And she really did, folks. All right. Well, you all have a great day, and we will see you in our next episode in 2 weeks. All right. Thank you for sticking through the whole interview with us. That was a lot of fun to do, and I just want to say thank you to Anessa for being, you know, my third interviewee on the show with KDOI Podcasting. And if you would like to be on the show, by all means, reach out to me, timothy@createartpodcast.com. You can go to the website, createartpodcast.com, and see everything that we're doing, from poetry to painting, to the, you know, all the podcast stuff that we're doing there. You can get merch there as well. So check it out for yourselves. And do me a favor, go ahead and, you know, share this episode with a friend that may need to hear this. As I always like to say, Create Art Podcast, we're helping you create more than you consume. Now go out there and create some art for somebody that you love, yourself. We'll see you next time.